Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. When electricity was first introduced to a little Scottish village, almost everybody in a particular church switched from their propane lanterns to electricity just as soon as it could be hooked up. However, the oldest couple in the congregation could not get electricity because they had to wait for the poles to go up first and the wire to be strung. So they continued to use their propane lanterns as they always had done. But a day finally came when electricity was wired into their home. Everyone came from church for the big occasion. The old man waited for it to get dark. Then he told his wife to go turn on the switch. When she did, light filled the room and everyone rejoiced. The old man grinned from ear to ear, picked up his propane lamp, and said, "It sure makes lighting my lamp easier." And with that, he lit his propane lamp, and his wife turned off the electricity. Sometimes we are just that way. We cannot see the light of Jesus because we sometimes still have a need to hang on to old assumptions, to not allow for the unexpected, to let go of our darkness. There is a term for spiritual darkness. We call it the dark night of the soul. When the light, the comfort, and the sense of God's presence feels absent. It takes faith to go forward when God feels absent. Faith is an action, not a feeling. Faith is the heart of courage. It takes courage to keep going forward in the face of despair, of grief, and of loss. It takes courage to keep going forward when one has physically suffered a violation of one's body and or emotional abuse. It takes courage to keep going forward when one feels anger towards God, questions God, questions injustice. It is hard when God has not answered the specifics of our prayer, when God has not fulfilled the longing of our hearts. So sometimes we even negotiate with God. A man asked God how long a million years was to God. God replies, "It is just like a single second of your time." So the man asked, "What about $1 million? God replied, "To me, it is just like a single penny." The man thought about it. "Well, God, could I have one of your pennies?" And God said, "Certainly, just a second." Yes, we are stuck in human time. Yet with God, it is all now. God is never absent, especially when we cannot feel God, but only our pain. When one is suffering from a physical, psychological, or spiritual darkness, it is hard to see or feel the light of Jesus in the midst of our sense of time and space. Yet the light of Jesus is a transforming spiritual energy that is present in us, in all creation, right now, right here. In the glory of Jesus, Paul says, we are being transformed. Since Christmas, since the three kings visited Jesus, our Sunday readings have revealed Jesus, the light of the world. Today, the Epiphany season ends with one final burst of the glory of a transfigured Jesus. And Jesus wanted to give Peter, James, and John a glimpse of this glory. Jesus wanted them to believe, to know that he was more than a great leader like Moses, more than a major prophet like Elijah. So Jesus took them up a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became white and dazzling. And a cloud descended on the disciples, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." The disciples were not really ready for all of that. They had expected Jesus to do something exciting, but probably conventional, like forming an army to drive the Romans out of the land. But this experience on the mountain was more like grabbing an electrical wire and getting a jolt. But it awakened them to the fact that Jesus was more than they had expected. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. Have you ever had an experience like that, discovering Jesus is more than you expected? There are people whose lives have been headed in the wrong direction for years, but who suddenly and without warning came face to face with God or heard God and had their lives turned around. But maybe, for most of you today, this story of the Transfiguration might feel like it has little or nothing to do with your experience of faith. And so I offer two messages embedded in this Transfiguration event that I believe can help move us through each day in a power greater than ourselves. First, Jesus took these disciples up on that mountain to pray and place themselves in the presence of God. Yet, sometimes we approach prayer as if the burden of communication were ours, as if we have to find the right words to persuade God to do our will. But prayer is something far different. Prayer is not a magical incantation to persuade God to obey us. Prayer is a conversation with a loving God that helps us to align ourselves with God's will, God's design, God's purpose. But not easy when we are suffering. We think we know the way out. know what we want and need. But God doesn't need to learn from us. We need to learn from God. So I am convinced that the quiet moments in prayer, the times when we invite God to guide us, and then sit quietly communing with God, listening to God, are possibly our most important prayer times. And there is another lesson to be learned from this transfiguration event. These disciples went up on the mountain to pray and wanted to stay in the moment. In fact, build three dwellings, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But they could not stay there, were not meant to stay there, and neither can we, because God calls. I am reminded of a famous painting of Christ painted by Holman Hunt more than a century ago. It's in your bulletin. It pictures Christ knocking at the door. The door is closed. When Hunt showed the painting to his friends, one of them saw that he had forgotten something. He said, "You put no handle on the door." Hunt replied, "We must open the door to Jesus. The handle is on the inside." Whenever we think that God has somehow left us alone, we might take a moment to check the door, to see if the door is open. Is your heart open to God? In fact, can you really let go and let God be God? Today, I invite us all to go up on the mountain or into the quietness of your room, wherever you can be alone, to commune with God, to pray, to talk to God, and to listen to God in the spiritual energy vibrations of the transfiguration moment. That moment is still with us now and always. Prayer fosters a spiritual transfusion that gives us courage, inspiration, strength, and love for the light of Jesus. Prayer fosters a radiating center that illumines the light of God for others. So connect to the power of God. And the following was written by the 19th century Episcopal priest Philip Brooks. "Oh, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks." So, breathe in God and exhale power. Breathe in love and exhale peace. And pray in the light of the transfigured Jesus Christ. Amen.